O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, come and listen to me.
Amen. So Nicholas, I didn't fold my hands in the way, I just kept my hands open, but prayer is a wonderful thing, and prayer is something that God gives us as a gift. But I would suggest that we can't pray in and of ourselves, because I said prayer is a gift. Well, and faith is a gift, and gifts have a giver and a receiver, and God is the giver, and we are the receivers. Today we encounter the Lord's Prayer as we move through the Holy Gospel of St. Luke. We've been in Luke chapter 10. We heard about the parable of the Good Samaritan and loving our neighbor as ourselves because God has first loved us. Last week we had the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus coming, and Jesus is the one thing needful, and ultimately Jesus is the host. We receive his gifts, and then we respond in faith. And we've talked about that as a theology of worship, that we, as Lutheran Christians, come, and first and foremost, we receive, and then we respond in faith. So today is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer comes up two places in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 6 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. A little bit of difference there. The whole thing is generally the same, but specifics are different. And here in Luke chapter 11, though, thinking about where we've been and now where we are, it says that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples, in humility, I would suggest, acknowledging that he's not sufficient in and of himself, goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And Jesus said to him, "When you pray, say, 'Father.'" This starts with Father. Now, this is a difference for how it starts in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, it says, "Our Father." And you say, well, is that a big difference? Well, it's not a huge difference. But in Matthew's Gospel, there's as much an emphasis on the one you're praying to as those you are praying with. It's not bad to pray with other people. Pray with other people who are Christians. But in this case, it's simply Father. Well, who do you pray to? See, the emphasis is we pray to our Father. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. These first couple petitions here or requests emphasize and focus on God, and there's a relationship there. There's a conversation that comes between a father and his children. But you don't create this relationship yourself, neither do I. It is something that is born from the Holy Spirit, who comes and gives faith, who carries us and puts us into Jesus the Son, and the Son takes us to the Father. And so the initial emphasis is a relationship with God, and then what would be normally the fourth petition, but really is only the third petition here, talks about wants and needs. Well, that was something we talked about last week, about, well, when we live by faith, I would suggest that our wants and needs perfectly align. And the main priority is first and foremost in Jesus. I want him, and I acknowledge I need him. I must decrease so that he may increase. And here now we're talking about wants and needs in a temporal sense. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And then we get this story, this interesting story about the friend who comes at midnight and asks for bread, and everybody responds, and Jesus said it's not because they're friends, but because of his impudence or his boldness that he responds. And I'm not going to focus on that today. I want to get down to the last part here. The end of the reading, where Jesus talks about asking and seeking and receiving or knocking. And then Jesus says, and then again, this father-child relationship, he says, "What father among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent, a snake? Or if your child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" And then he says this in verse 13, If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more then will the Heavenly Father give? And so I thought, well, it would be give good gifts to his children. But did you catch? That's not what it says here. You see what it says? How much more will the Heavenly Father give what? Judy, you're shaking your head. The Holy Spirit. Wow. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? See, we live by faith. We live as a result of the Holy Spirit coming and gathering us together. The Holy Spirit who fuels our prayers. Because if you live by faith, you pray. And those who pray live by faith. But our faith has an object. It's Jesus. It holds on to something. All of this is linked together. This relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This relationship that you and I have about being connected to God. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. Oh, you're all here. See, I did this the other day. And I sang, and I think, well, this is, well, I do a lot of weird things when I'm in here. Well, I mean, not weird things. I work on my sermon. I gotta really go off. I work on my sermon, and I'm chanting, and I'm singing that, and I hear, the echo that comes back, and maybe you've picked up on this, but I get a lot of words in. And my wife suggests that I just bend conversations wherever I want them to go. I like to talk, I like to think through things, and to slow down. And to say, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. You know, last week we talked about wants and needs, and in and of myself, and you, in and of yourself, you don't know what you want and need, not apart from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus, who changes our hearts, who puts us in rhythm with God. See, we can't pray, we can't worship, we can't believe apart from the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not an end to itself. The Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus, the Son. But it doesn't stop with the Son, because He takes you to His Father. I want to be a child. There was a period over the last school year that one of Andrew and I's children would wake up most mornings and would simply start crying, would fall to pieces. And initially, we responded in compassion, but eventually, especially for me, is, what are you crying about? Why are you crying? Because there's no crying when we get ready for school. We've got to stay on a schedule. And finally, this child, who's not here today, said, I don't know. Had no idea. All they knew was that something is wrong. You know, in some sense, I've never really outgrown that. Now, it's not me that was crying, but I've never really outgrown it. I don't know that I ever will. If you would ask me what I think about something, if I haven't thought about it ahead of time, I'd have to start talking. That's actually what I'm doing when I'm preaching. I mean, led by the Holy Spirit, centered in the Word of God, in the revealed Word of God, but I've got to talk through it. And sometimes all I could tell you is that something's wrong. But I may not be able to tell you what. And the gift of living by faith is to know that we have a Heavenly Father who, well, maybe He does say, what are you crying about? But He listens. He listens when we come, called by His Holy Spirit, gathered into Jesus, when we come and say, come and listen to me. When I call, answer me. because it's the Holy Spirit who puts us into Jesus. It's faith that takes us out of sin and death and the power of the devil and puts us into being forgiven and into the life of Jesus and set free. It's prayer and worship and faith that all go together that shape us. Because in the end, prayer is not merely believing that there is a God, but it trusts that God is our Father. And you see, you can't know any of that apart from the Holy Spirit who puts you into the Son, who takes us to the Father. Jonathan Fisk, in his book Echo, and some of us went through it on Wednesday morning, and another plug for Wednesday night. We're going to do it Wednesday night this fall. He says that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we pray in general, the prayer is for more prayer. In some sense, we're praying against our own heart. Praying that the things that by nature maybe I want that I don't need, or the things that I think I need but they're not, or the things that I do need but they're not what I want, that I'm praying against my own heart. And in the end, you see, we hopefully are children, and we as children of God mature. And maturity and humility, I think they're two sides of the same coin, because maturity and humility in the end say, well, it's not so much about me, is it? But it's about other people. And my self-centeredness not only can ruin my own life, but can ruin other people's lives. And in the end, the Christian faith, guided and God-breathed and led by the Holy Spirit, isn't made for looking at you. No, it's made for looking at... Who's it made for looking at? You know the answer. Jesus, because you're looking at him right here and here. It's made for looking at Jesus. Pastor Luke and I were talking on Thursday as I was still trying to figure out how to preach this sermon, and you talked about your friend from the seminary who talked about his brother and the difference between, I think it was his brother, the difference between childlike faith and childish faith. And I think by the same token, we could say the difference between childlike prayer and childish prayer. Now, Jonathan Fisk in Echo says, you know, it's really easy to ask the sky for a pony, but Christian prayer is so much more than that. Because in the end, prayer, and here's the temptation, prayer is not about bending God's will to my will. Well, if only I come to you enough, God, you'll figure out that I'm right. And if you don't listen, eventually I'll just stop praying, and you'll really lose out, God, because you need me. Right? And we laugh at maybe here, but that's kind of the inclination. Prayer is not made for bending God's will to our will. It is the reverse, right? It's made for bending us to God's will. It's made for shaping us. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us shapes us and makes us more Christ-like. It doesn't make us Jesus, but it makes us more Christ-like. The Christian life is cruciform. It's cross-shaped. It is made for, faith is made for hearing Jesus and not just saying, oh, he's talking, but listening and following him, doing what he says. In prayer and faith and the Holy Spirit are all tied together. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans 8, 28, pretty well-known verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You know what it says right before that? It's something that really resonates with me. Earlier in chapter 8, St. Paul is simply talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says in 8:26, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. Because to be a child is to realize in the end, you know, I'm not self-sufficient. Maybe I don't know anything. Maybe other people are teaching me things, and my parents actually know something. And my Heavenly Father certainly knows. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And St. Paul says this, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And the older I get, the worse I think I'm at praying. Or maybe the better by faith I am at acknowledging, yeah, I don't know a whole lot. And I get anxiety and uncertainty, because if it's up to me, it's going to be a mess. But then he says, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I don't know exactly what that means, but I like it. And I don't know if it means the Holy Spirit is groaning or interpreting my groanings and my whimpers or my fits of rage over silly things like the toilet getting clogged last night. Lord have mercy. Sorry, Ollie, for getting mad about that. See, the Holy Spirit shapes us and renews us, calls us in baptism, gives us an identity, feeds and nourishes us in and through the word proclaimed, from hearing the words of absolution to the scriptures read, to the word proclaimed from the pulpit, to the word and sacrament from the holy altar, Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you and me for the forgiveness of sins. So childlike faith is acknowledging that God is my Father and yours too. But the reality is, and you know this, because no matter how old you are, if you have children, I'll ask Bill and Donna Bonitz here, do you ever stop being a parent to your children? No matter how old, never stop. Right? See, we never outgrow or mature out of being a child of God. But I think we pray as parents, and we as children hope that we mature beyond being just simply self-centered and me-centered to being centered in Christ and others. Jonathan Fisk says, in the end, he says, there's an analogy of a child who would ask her dad for a pony, that would be her prayer. But if she... as she matures and understands things more fully, really the better prayer is to pray that her dad's debt would be paid. See, there's an awareness that goes beyond, well, I just want this, but maybe this is better for the family, and that's good for mom and dad as well. So, our Heavenly Father, what He gives us is His Holy Spirit. And the more Holy Spirit we get, the more Jesus we get. And the more Jesus we get, the more we're connected to the Father. And the more we're connected to the Father, the more we're connected with one another in all of creation. And then when you're worried about what you need, you say, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. I left something out there. Forgive us, because we've been forgiven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'll tell you, I don't always know what is wrong with me or going on inside of me. And I certainly don't know what's going on inside of you. But God knows. And the Holy Spirit who dwells within you is interceding, is carrying you to Jesus, the great high priest, who takes you to the Father. So when we don't know, and when we're completely broken, and maybe it's because God is breaking us and actually teaching us something, because that's what a loving Father does, we come to Him in prayer. And so I invite you, it's printed in the bulletin here, or if you like to follow along in the hymnal, it's actually hymn 780, it's a verse. I would like to twice through sing this verse, O Lord, hear my prayer.
prayer. Come and listen to me. Amen.
And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our great high priest, who takes us to his Father. Amen.